you have worked with such a long list of different organizations. It's wild just to read how many things you're working on. So I'd love to start off today by hearing what your work right now with nonprofit groups is looking like in Abbotsford.
My focus now is primarily on the transportation story and habitat restoration projects with the Fraser Valley Conservancy and the Watersheds Coalition. I'm also involved with both the BC Green Party and the Federal Green Party. So I've got my hands in lots of different things, and I'm really enjoying my time now.
And so how has that work changed since March when the COVID-19 pandemic really hit BC?
Much of our work, particularly in habitat projects, relied on volunteer participation. And in fact, a lot of university students at UFE students were helping us over the last few years with habitat restoration projects, a lot of the biology students and geography students. Obviously, we can't do that right now. And so it affects not just us as an organization, but it also affects students' opportunities really to get out in the field and participate in environmental work.
Can you give me some examples of the activities that you had to scale back or eliminate?
Plantings, of course, streamside plantings and invasives removals. Those rely on as many people as we can round up. What we do is we go to an area that's been, you know, negatively impacted by either development or pollution of some kind or another, and we get grants to improve the environmental sustainability of those areas. So we remove all the invasives and then we replant with species that should be there. And interestingly, it doesn't take very long. If you plant the species that belong in a region, before you know it, all the birds and insects and other animals are filling up that habitat. And it's wonderful to watch that happen.
What are the repercussions then of not being able to do things like go in and remove invasive species? Like, how does that actually impact the ecosystem in the valley?
Much of what we see in the Fraser Valley right now is a landscape that's been altered for our benefit as people, as humans. And we're only one species. There are thousands of other species that need this space to survive. So the consequences, of course, are lack of biodiversity and a collapse of ecosystems. And we're seeing that in obviously in fish habitat and also in our forest mismanagement and in our agricultural practices. Right across the board, and needless to say, urban sprawl or suburban sprawl, as Abbotsford has, and all of these things are impacting the biodiversity. So we need to work much harder on not just protecting these sensitive areas, but actually enhancing it, because the baseline that we have today is only a remnant, a fragment of what we had 100 years ago or even 50 years ago. And so we have to use those baselines, not today's, to measure our success.
One question that's coming to mind for me then is, clearly this is a call to action, especially for environmentalism, but how can people help out if they're unable to go volunteer physically right now?
Oh, that's easy. We have a very responsive city council. We have a Fraser Valley Regional District Council. Go to your city council, your mayor, and tell them that these things are essential to our well-being, and why aren't we doing more at the municipal level and at the regional level to protect our environment? Too often, our ideas around what we call sustainability is like a balancing act. And if the economy is hurting, then we forget about social well-being and the environment, and we focus on the economy. And if the homeless issue is front and center, then we ignore the economy and the environmental health of our community. And of course, that balancing act is never something that you can achieve. It's like running back and forth on a teeter-totter. It's ridiculous. What we're learning is that the environment and social well-being and our economy, particularly at a local level, those three things are interdependent. They're not one against the other or one balanced with the other. It's an interdependency. They all require attention at the same time. And we can't separate them from each other. And that's a mistake that our Western culture has made for centuries. And we're now learning that we have to think of them as a holistic problem. Locally, people can challenge our council, our mayor, our regional district representatives to do better and to recognize the interdependency of these things.
One champion that everyone knows in the town that you guys have on city council is Patricia Ross. How has the rest of our city council gone along with your guys' proposals to make this a greener city and greener valley?
Well, in two words, they haven't. I don't mean to say that we have a council that's recognizing the significance of our climate crisis. They don't. I don't think our council is doing a very good job at all. But what I meant to say is that they are receptive to public input. Mm-hmm. This city council has been very, very good at listening. They may not agree with us, but they're listening. And if enough people, and they've told me this, many councillors and the mayor and Henry Brown himself has told me, John, if enough people care about this, that's the way our council will move. And just that's what I meant to say.
I just want to give you the opportunity because I know that Patricia Ross has been a great champion of these kind of causes, but I think she's in the minority. As you can tell around the city, there's a lot of development starting to happen and a lot of green forest, green areas are now starting to become more developed for urban use and for family use. What do you think about that balance between development and keeping the valley green?
We do have a new official community plan that highlights the importance of containing our footprint, our developed footprint. It's on paper. I remember helping work on the official community plan a couple of years ago when we were, drafting and fine-tuning it and presenting it to the public. If we're going to become a sustainable, livable, walkable community, if we're going to have hard edges to our city, if we're going to do these things, how are we going to do it? How are we going to make it work? How are we going to measure our success in the short term, not 20 or 30 years from now? And that became part of the new official community plan. And I was pretty happy about that. The problem we faced is that having something on paper and then delivering are two different things. And I remember the community plan that we developed must have been, 12 or 15 years ago. The term sustainability was right on the cover. And it was front and center, but it had no teeth. There was no way to really implement sustainability into the official community plan. And now I believe we have the teeth to support a more sustainable future for Abbotsford. However, there's no political will right now to pursue that. And so again, it falls on us as citizens to demand that the city implement the plan that it has presented to us. And we can go on the websites and look at it. But it always falls on the citizens of a community to tell their council and tell their mayor what they really want to see happening in Abbotsford. Right now, of course, the development community, the Chamber of Commerce, all of these organizations, their self-interest is in growth and development, regardless of consequences. And they're not being malicious. They're just being honest. They want growth for the sake of growth. But we know that that's not sustainable. It's really difficult to encourage people to support a city initiative when there's no political will to support that.